Welcome. Welcome to our service this morning. We're glad that you're worshiping with us. And if you are a first-time guest, we are especially glad to have you with us today. It's been the early service before, and this one and the one to follow will be honoring our graduates. I'd like to turn your attention now to the Apostle Paul speaking to a young protege, Timothy. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with the 11th verse and reading through 16. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious God, speak to us now. Help us to hear, to understand, to receive your word, and allow it to do its transforming work. In Christ's name we pray, amen. There was a man, an alcoholic, whose name was Joe. And Joe had just about ruined his life as much as anybody could with drink. But Joe found himself at a mission, and he went there, and during his time there at the mission, he was converted. He was converted, he became a follower of Jesus, and Jesus became real in his life. And he was so thrilled and happy about that. And out of gratitude, he began to work there. And my goodness, at some of the things he had to do, I mean, clean up after the alcoholics came in, and the filthy bathrooms or the toilets. But Joe did it, and he had a smile on his face. It was a way he could serve, a way he could express his love to Christ. And so this went on, and people watched, and people saw, and people came into the shelter, and people went out. Well, the director of the shelter was holding a service, a preaching service, one evening. And the men were gathered there, at the end of his preaching, this alcoholic man in the back, he got up and he walked down, and he knelt there at the altar, and he just started praying, and he kept praying. He said, make me like Joe. Make me like Joe. Make me like Joe. And the director went down and knelt beside him and gently said, I believe it would be better if you said, Jesus, help me, or help me to be like Jesus. Help me to be like Jesus. And the guy looked up at the director with this puzzled look on his face and said, is he anything like Joe? Is he anything like Joe? The power of witness is amazing. This person who didn't know anything about Jesus, but he could see Joe, and Joe knew Jesus. And that was what he saw at work in him. Paul is dealing with his young protege, Timothy. And Timothy is the pastor at the church. And in that culture of the time, elders or the elderly were to be honored. And it's like that in a lot of the ancient cultures where there's high honor for those who are older. And Timothy is the pastor over this church, and given that culture, Maybe Timothy was a little hesitant to assume authority since he was younger than some of the people. But whether that's the case or not, Paul said to Timothy, do not let anyone look down on you because you're young. But set an example in speech, conduct, love, faith, purity. It was a word to Timothy. God has called you to your place of ministry and service. So you faithfully carry that out. It was a word to the congregation. Don't look down on this young man because he's the one that God has placed in the position of pastoral leadership here to help with the preaching and the teaching in the church. So it was a word that came to Timothy, but it also came to the people that were there. But this word that Paul has for him, it applies to young people, absolutely. Do not let anyone look down on you because you're young. But then what's said, directed toward those who might be young, is something that applies to every single person here this morning. It doesn't matter what your age is. And the first thing that Paul said is, be an example to others in your speech or by your speech. I can't even begin to emphasize the power of words or the power of speech. And I mean it's power, but it's double-edged. And by that I mean our words have the incredible ability to lift people up, to build them up, to strengthen them, to encourage them, to spur them on. But our words also have the ability to hurt, to harm, to ruin others' lives. Think about cyberbullying, or any kind of bullying for that matter, or any kind of other behavior or speech that embarrasses or hurts or tears down someone, makes fun of someone. So he's saying, Timothy, be this example by your speech, by what you say and the way you say it. And Paul, in looking at that, was telling the Ephesians later in the book of Ephesians, do not let any obscene, harmful, destructive talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Those who listen that you're speaking to, but those around who may overhear what's said. That's the power of speech. Speech has the power to impact the person that's being spoken to, but it also has the power to impact others around. And those words of strength and the words of encouragement and the words that are expressed that show care and concern, those have an incredible impact. But the other can destroy people and has destroyed people's lives of all ages. That whole thing of speech, the Lord's brother James in his letter, he has a section in there about the tongue. And in there, he's trying to communicate to people the power that the tongue has, even though it's a small organ in our body. And he likens it to the bit in the house, in the mouth of a horse. You have this small bit in the mouth of this muscular animal, and that little bit controls him. That controls the horse, makes him turn and to do whatever needs to be done. Little, but powerful. Same thing with a gigantic ship. You've got the ship. The ship needs to turn. The thing that turns it, the rudder. And that rudder may be minuscule compared to the rest of the size of the ship, but it's imperative to be there because it turns that entire ocean liner. Small, yet powerful. And that shows a good impact that it can have. But now he gives an example, James doesn't. He says, it's also like a small spark that sets a forest ablaze. Every time I read that passage, I think about the wildfires out west. I mean, I know they can be other places, but we hear them out west, California and other places, where just a spark sets off and destroys thousands and thousands of acres of forest and property, wildlife, and sometimes people's lives are lost. But James is trying to say that here is the power of that. And so if we are followers of Jesus, let our speech be that which builds up, that which encourages others. Set an example by that. Then he goes on, the next thing he tells him is to set an example by your conduct or the way you live. It is just as important as our speech, or more important, is our conduct. Those two must coincide. When the conduct is not there, the speech doesn't matter. In that, William Barclay, biblical scholar of years ago, said, verbal defenses may not silence criticism. Conduct will. Verbal defenses, just trying to defend yourself verbally, will not cover the criticisms. But conduct will. The way a person lives, the way a person responds, has that kind of impact. And Matthew Henry, another scholar, biblical scholar, says, those who teach by doctrine must teach by their life, else conduct pulls down with one hand what they build up with the other. What we build up with our words will be torn down by our conduct, or it'll be lifted up. And therein is the power. How we live matters. How we conduct ourselves around others matter. The strongest example that we can give to someone is when you combine word and speech. Word or speech and conduct. Speech and conduct. Where what we say and what we do, they coincide. And people see that there's a connection there. The disconnect will be called hypocrisy. Someone who says one thing but does another. But if you're a young person, a child or a teenager or a graduating student or a young adult or an adult, what we do, how we live matters. And there will be people observing that we may not know anything about. The third thing that he told Timothy to be a set an example was by love. And that love is not just anything anybody wants it to be, and it's certainly not what the world considers love. This is the love that Jesus Christ has and the love that he calls us to have. Jesus, in John's gospel, he said to his disciples with unmistakable clarity, by this others will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, that's not just love those who love you. And it's not just love those who are nice to you. Jesus talks about a different kind of love, and only he can provide this living in us and through us. And it's the love that wishes or desires the best for the other person, even when they are unlovable. Jesus from the cross says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's Christian love. Young people, students, adults, can family members at home or people at where you work or your peers or anybody else, can they see the love of Christ operating in your life? When that happens, it has an impact like it did on the guy who, who saw Jesus in Job, but he didn't know it was Jesus. He just saw a man who expressed love and a man who served and a man who cared. Is Jesus anything like Job? He asked. Then he said, faith. The ability to believe in Christ, or to the ability to be faithful to Christ in all situations and circumstances. Now, it's easy to be faithful to Christ here and now in worship. It's easy to be faithful in Sunday school class, or a Bible study, or in a youth group, or in a retreat setting. But young people, what about when parents are not there? What about when you're away, out of sight of others? What about in the dormitory at school or college? What about the fraternity party or the sorority party? Yes, one can be faithful to Jesus in the midst of that. As a matter of fact, that's where the witness is most powerful, if there's faithfulness expressed there. And this is not something we work up or something that we do. It's something we allow Jesus to do in and through us. We are called to be faithful to him regardless of the situation or the circumstances. And the last thing he says to Timothy is, Timothy, I want you to set an example by living a life of purity. And by that, he was talking about honoring and revering Christ morally and ethically with our body, with our mind, with our spirit. That is us in our totality. This is a challenge today, especially when we have a culture that highlights and emphasizes and even celebrates immoral and unethical behavior. Not just acknowledges it, but celebrates it. We have need a standard to operate by, and we have that standard, and that standard is Jesus Christ, his life and his teaching. And that helps us as we turn. And this is also the reason, the importance for the body of Christ or for the community of faith, where we can come together and say, you know, it's hard out there, and you know, I'm tempted here. And another person over here says, you know, I thought I was the only one. I deal with that all the time. And that's the importance of being with believers, so we can encourage one another. So Paul's words to young Timothy are true. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. But what I say now is, the words that Paul gives to Timothy apply to every single one of us this morning. It doesn't matter what the age is. Children, youth, adults, senior adults. What he says, set an example by what you say, by the way you live, by the love you express, by faithfulness to Christ and purity in life. Paul encouraged that strongly when he says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. We've been bought with a price, and that's Jesus. And he's calling us to live. And if we live for him, it will be so different from our surrounding culture that that witness will be powerful. And we have the opportunity to be a part of that. The importance of Christian witness is seen in the words of John Chrysostom, who was an early church father. This is what he said. He's talking about those outside the faith now. They see our lives open to reproach, criticism of all kind. Our souls were worldly. They see our souls worldly. We admire wealth equally with them and even more. And we have the same horror of death, the same dread of poverty, the same impatience with disease. And we are equally fond of glory and rule. How can they believe? If we live as the world lives, how can they believe? If we live as Jesus is calling us to live, regardless of our age and who we are, where we come from, what we've done, the life, the words, the witness, that's the witness that Christ has called us to as his followers. It was powerful then. It's still powerful now. It was powerful for the man who saw Joe and saw something so different in him that he wanted to be like Joe. And it was Jesus. And he's here today. And he's in our midst. And he's telling all of us, lead by example. Lead by example. Let's pray. Gracious God, have mercy on us. Forgive us when we thought we were too young, we were too old, too this, too that. When what we need to do is to live as followers of your Son Jesus and to allow these qualities of Jesus to shine in us and through us so that others might see and be drawn to you through your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.